Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Isn't it amazing how when we look out for the needs of others, we find our own needs being taken care of? Maybe you're praying for somebody else and their need, and even as you're praying, you just really sense that the Lord's answering a prayer in your own life. Maybe, the Lord will lay a scripture on your heart to share with somebody who's struggling in a particular area. And lo and behold, as you do, I sit there and you go, wow. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Thanks, Lord. How sad that oftentimes we miss out on God's best by just limiting ourselves, putting ourselves in a place where we don't care and we don't share passionately. Passionately. Yes, Scott, you know what kind of week I've had. It's Wednesday. It isn't enough that I dragged myself here. I am glad you dragged yourself here to church. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? You're here for a reason. Yeah, and if you ask the Lord for the power and the anointing and the filling of His Spirit, I guarantee you, He's going to honor that prayer and He's going to use you in a powerful way. And so we saw that real leadership wasn't just about the people of Israel leading by initiative, but they were invested emotionally. And the rest of this chapter, the way it breaks down, I know some of you are probably reading ahead and you're going, ooh, man, Hashub, the son of Zikaram and the son of Hashabiah and all the, oh my gosh. There's sure a lot of names being listed here. This is almost sounding a little bit like a genealogy. Well, it's not really a genealogy that we are getting into here. It's a listing of the individuals that actually had the gumption to move out of their comfort zones and move into Jerusalem. That's what we see in verses 3 through 14. And, I could stand up here and tongue-tie myself, since these are the heads of the province who dwelt at Jerusalem by the cities of Judah. Everyone dwelt in his own possession, their cities. Israelites, priests, Levites, Nethinim. The Nethinim, you might remember, were these Gentiles, these individuals who traced their lineage back to the Gibeonites, who kind of pulled a fast one on Joshua and kind of got adopted into the family of Israel. The descendants of Solomon's servants. Chances are these guys came from a Gentile background as well. They were the stone workers that worked on the temple of God. They were the descendants of these individuals. Also in Jerusalem dwelt some of the children of Judah and the children of Benjamin. And then it goes into the children of Judah, and then it starts naming all of these names here and how many from these different tribes and clans were mentioned here. And obviously, if you guys wanted to be amused, you could see me try to work through pronouncing all these names, like Mashallah, the son of Pediah, and so on. But the most important thing that we need to understand here is this. Not necessarily are reading these names just because these names are here to be read, but understanding why these names are listed here in the first place. Do you know why these names are listed in the Bible? Because these are individuals who decided, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a part of what God is up to. Now, catch this. The reason their names are listed here is because God took notice. This was an event that we are reading about here that took place roughly about 2,500 years ago. And God paid attention. So much so, these names are still being listed in our day and age. There's something about seeing your name listed, isn't it? That is a really powerful and amazing thing. I don't know how many of you ever got your name listed in the newspaper, maybe when you were playing youth sports or something like that. Boy, you know, back in the day before the internet and all of that other stuff, that was really quite a thrill to have your name in the newspaper. Honest to goodness, it happened to me once in a really amazing way. I was running track at Moorpark College in California before I transferred out here to the U of A. And I went to school one day, and I had these people come up to me, and they started saying, "Hey, look, it's Kevin Churchill. Hey, Kevin Churchill." And I went, "Kevin Churchill, what are you talking about?" And this friend of mine came up, and he's just cracking up. And he goes, you won't believe what happened. And he shows me the newspaper from the Thousand Oaks. And there on the front page of the sports page are three pictures of me in sequence in the middle of a long jump. You know, it was like, this is like my dream come true, right? You know, when you're a little kid and you think, wow, you know, to be honored by being on the front page of the sports section. They show you competing in your event. And there it was, you know, me taking off, me in mid-flight coming in for a landing. Someday I'll show you the picture because, you know, I had hair and my landing, I had hair back then. And it was about, you know, like standing out like that. And I had the big bacon strip sideburns and all this other stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And my friend's cracking up and goes, yeah, look what it says here. It says coming in for a landing. Moorpark College's Kevin Churchill seen here landing in the long jump pit. I was like, oh, so close and yet so far. My picture's in the paper, but they got my name wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you something tonight. God never gets your name wrong. If you decide to show to serve him, you decide to show up, you decide to serve him in a powerful way. We look at this and we think of Zechariah, the son of Shaloni, and all these people like here, Perez, and all these other like that. They don't mean anything to us, but I want to tell you something. They mean a lot to God. Because these are individuals who decided to serve him, and God never forgets those who serve him. People will forget. Yeah, you can serve the Lord and you know, ignorant people, oblivious people, people that can't see that far in front of their nose, they may never acknowledge your service to God. They may never appreciate you. A couple things I'd say about that. First of all, God never put anyone on planet Earth to be appreciated. Did you know that? And boy, when we fall into that trap, no one appreciates me. I do so much around here. You know, that is a one-way trip to the Slough of Despond, as we see it described in Pilgrim's Progress. Now, you want to be bummed out, you want to be neutralized in your walk with God, make it your goal to be acknowledged, to be appreciated, to get the attaboy and the pat on the back. It's a loser on a couple of levels. First of all, chances are you're not going to get all the appreciation you're looking for. You're always going to be frustrated by that. And secondly, if you do get it, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. You got paid in full. You know, someone comes up and slaps you in the back. Oh, you're just so wonderful. You're so valuable. All this other stuff. You're going to stand before the Lord someday and you're going to say, "Lord, where is my reward for all that?" Well, Scott Richards thought you were wonderful. I guarantee you, when you hear that in heaven, you're going to be bummed out. So I'm not to say we don't appreciate people that do things in our lives. There's nothing wrong with thanking people when they go out of our way. That's just good manners. But if that's what you're looking for, if that's what you're canvassing for in your service to God, you're going to end up one frustrated, bitter, bummed out, sidelined puppy. But understand something. When you realize that the only acknowledgement that is really going to matter is God paying attention, God seeing what you do. You know, it's really interesting. Our next book study, when we finish Nehemiah here, we're going to make the jump over into the book of Malachi, because Malachi was a prophet that was sent to the very people that were there in Jerusalem during the time of Nehemiah. And this passage in Malachi, I think, is so powerful. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." This is Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. "So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Boy, wouldn't you like to have the Lord look at you as one of his precious jewels? What greater reward could there possibly be than that? You know, and if you go to church with the idea that you're here to please the Lord. If you go about your life, your vocation, your family existence in a way where you go, man, I just want to honor you, Lord. You know what? The Lord's going to honor you. The Lord's going to honor you. And every one of these names that is listed here, we might not think that's really special, but God sees these people as special. He knew all the sacrifices that they made. He knew everything that it took for them to leave behind their creature comforts and dwell in Jerusalem. Did you know that God knows you by name? Did you know that nothing escapes his notice? Nothing you do for him is wasted as if there is no resurrection. I love what Isaiah 43 in verse 1 says about this. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Boy, if you got that as your payoff, nobody can ever take your joy away. And so we see these individuals mentioned here. There are a couple other real nuggets that we find in this section of Scripture, and you can certainly read through it on your own. But understand, when the people of Israel came in there, they not only had this personalized blessing from God, that God recognized who they were personally, but God also gave them a really interesting picture of what real purpose in our walk with God is about, both practically and spiritually. I call your attention to verse 16 here in this section. It's describing these Levites and their service here. And notice it talks about these individuals, Shabbatai and Jozabad, of the heads of the Levites. They had oversight over the business outside of the house of God. Now, I love that, because the people who are being acknowledged here weren't just the individuals who stayed in the temple the whole time, just individuals that thought deep thoughts in their walk with God and, you know, were too busy to get involved in. These were individuals that really got involved with practical areas of the lives of people. They dealt with the business aspect of things that had to get taken care of. They were, in a sense, administrators. Now, when I say the term administrators, it, for some people, you know, the spiritual air goes out of the balloon. Administration? Come on, that hardly sounds spiritual. That hardly sounds like a place where God's going to move in a powerful way. Well, you know, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, we see listed the gifted individuals that God has given to the church that are given the power of the Holy Spirit to minister in a powerful way among God's people. It says, now you're the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Helps and administrations. You know, if you're the kind of person that comes alongside and helps other people in tangible and practical ways, guess what? The Bible says that is just as powerful a gift of the Holy Spirit as speaking in tongues. Speaking a language you never learned, miraculously. Notice it also talks about administrations. If you can keep all the planes from landing on the same runway at once in the body of Christ, you've got a very, very valuable gift. And the thing that I love about this is that there's room in the body of Christ for all kinds of service, all kinds of ministries, in all kinds of wonderful ways. And one's not necessarily better than the other. You know, if you've got an administrative mind, you're just one of those people that really understands, you know, how, you know, organizations should flow and you know, where certain things can really, you know, get jammed up and create difficulties in ministry. Boy, let me tell you something. That is a incredibly spiritual ministry. You know, how do you know if you've got the gift of helps or administrations? You know, I've rarely come up had someone come up to me and say, Scott, I just pray that you would lay hands on me so I could have the gift of administrations, you know? It just doesn't sound really super spiritual, but it's an essential. How do you know if you've really got it? You know, how do you really know that God's given you this administrative gift? Well, I think one of the dead giveaways is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If God calls you to be a part of helping to administrate a particular outreach within the church, you know what? The sure sign that you've got the gift of helps and administrations, you go, hot diggity, I can't wait. Man, that's great. I love this sort of thing. I love problem solving. I love, you know, being able to see. It gives you great satisfaction to be able to see things move more efficiently so the Word of God can impact people in more and more of an undistracted way, and people can be raised up and trained and equipped to be able to magnify and multiply the effectiveness of the ministry. And if that lights your fire, guess what? You are equally anointed with an individual who's got the gift of prophecy, gift of healing, the gift of tongues, you name the spiritual gift. And we see these individuals who took care of the business outside of the temple being acknowledged as those that were being used by God in a powerful way. Now notice in verse 17, we also see there was this inward and upward ministry going on as well. In verse 17, we see some individuals, Mattaniah, the son of Micha, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, the leader who began the thanksgiving with prayer. Now notice, there was also these individuals. You have these individuals that had administrative gifts that were on the horizontal, right? But you also had an upward focus in ministry. You also had individuals that were definitely and decidedly called to this kind of spiritual impact. And boy, you know, that is an important and invaluable gift, being able to lead worship, being able to encourage and stir people up to get their eyes focused on the vertical instead of just the horizontal. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read this beautiful passage. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, God looks at those that can encourage people to give thanks to the Lord, encourage people to offer praise and prayer to God. He looks at this as a very valuable ministry, an amazing sacrifice. And so we see both of these things happening here. Now, I got a question to ask you. Which of these ministries was more valuable? Which of these ministries was more pleasing to God? Well, the simple answer is both. Both. Because unless you have both of these ministries happening, the body of Christ inevitably suffers. You know, I love what Romans chapter 12 says about this. In verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Or he who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What Paul is saying is whatever role that God has given you in the body of Christ, boy, do it understanding that the Holy Spirit has put you in that place and you won't go wrong. You know, it's such a beautiful picture here. And you know, one of the other details here, and there's a number of different things that we could explore here in this passage. But for a purpose here tonight, we're told a little bit in verse 22 about the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem. His name was Uzzi, the son of Bani, and his genealogy is giving of the sons of Asaph, the singers in charge of the service of the house of God. Verse 23 says, for it was the king's command concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers, a quota, day by day. Now I love that, in that this detail is given to us that even though these individuals were involved in a very spiritual form of ministry, God also acknowledges that they had some tangible needs. And God was going to take care of all of that. I imagine one of the big questions that came up when people were going to pick up stakes and move to Jerusalem, this wrong side of the tracks that was now ready to be re-inhabited and refurbished. It was still a mess, by the way. Still needed an awful lot of work. I'm sure there were people like, yeah, well, you know, it's all great that we're wanting to serve the Lord and everything, but how in the world are we going to make a living? How are we going to do this? Boy, when I see that, it reminds me of when we started the church here. I remember having this conversation with my dad when I told him that we were leaving Calvary Costa Mesa, we're going to come out here to Tucson and start a church. Well, first of all, my dad was an attorney, and attorneys are taught to think in worst-case scenarios, right? That's how they make their living, anticipating problems and trying to solve them. And you know, my dad, by his lights, the last church that ever got started was back in the Reformation, right? So the kid's going to go out and start a church. Great. This sounds really, really good. And he goes, well, okay, you're going to go start a church. All right. And he said, well, Chuck Smith obviously has bought you guys a church building, right? And you've got a church building all set up, and you're going to be ready to go when you get out there, right? And I said to him, well, no. I said, at this point, I'm not really sure where we're going to meet. He looked at me and went, oh, okay. He goes, well, you know, Chuck Smith is going to pay your salary, right? You know, while you get going out there, you know, you he's going to take care of that. I said, well, no, actually, you know, we've been able to put aside some savings, but that's about it. We don't really have, you know, Chuck always said, we're God guides, he provides, and you know, I'm not going to be on staff anymore. He goes, oh, so you're not going to have a salary then? Okay. So you got a job lined up, right? You know, so you can take care of the needs of your family. And I said, well, no, I really don't. You know, we're just going to see if God is in this or not. And he goes, oh. And he goes, well, you've got a group of people out there, right, that are waiting for you, that are into this. I said, well, Dad, I just don't even know if anybody's going to show up the first Sunday. And he just gave me this look. And I think the last time I saw this look in his eyes was when he was teaching me to drive, you know? You know, kind of that look on his face like, oh, now I know why tigers eat their young. You know, that sort of thing going through his mind. And he goes, son, you know, all this spiritual stuff is fine, but how in the world are you going to make it? And I said to him, well, Dad, I don't think the world's got anything to do with it. I think if God's in it, it's really going to be blessed. And he goes, oh, okay. And I'd like to say, you know, I walked out of there feeling, oh, yes, God is going to. And I just walked out of there and go, man, he's right. This thing could go over like a lead balloon. Well, lo and behold, the Lord was in it. The Lord did take care of our needs. You know, we stepped out in faith, obviously, but every step along the line, he met our needs. And part of that meeting our needs was living off of our savings for a while till the church got to a place where it was, you know, going enough so that, you know, we could be supported financially and so forth. But the one thing I'll tell you is this, you know, even when I had no idea how we were going to make it, I had no idea from moment to moment how we were going to pay our bills personally. And Pastor Bo will give testimony to this as well. Sometimes I go to these pastors' conferences, and these pastors will be saying, oh, yeah, we've got all this money and, you know, this future building fund and so forth, and do you have it in mutual funds, or do you think it would be good to invest over here? I never have to worry about those conversations because, you know, it always just seems like with us, we have just enough to get by. We pay all of our bills. We've never been late. It just, you know, there have been times where Bo and I have looked at each other like, I don't know how this is going to work, but, you know, lo and behold, you know, God has taken us every step along the line. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Because it's just so wonderful to see how the Lord blesses and how he takes care of us and how he meets the needs. And God was basically saying to these Levites, these individuals with this spiritual focus, don't worry about it. Don't worry about your tangible needs. I'm going to take care of you. Where God guides, he provides.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.